Well, good morning, one and all. We're turning to Psalm 2, and we're coming to the final study. The final study of the Psalm that we have spent a little time in, and we will conclude this final section. I need hardly say there are four sections in the Psalm, and we have been looking at the final section, which we have entitled The Recommendations of the Gospel. Having dealt with the rebellion there is among men and the reaction God will have toward that rebellion and his purpose and plan to set the Lord Jesus on the throne of this world and all its nations, irrespective of man's rebellion. That's what God's going to do. Then, having dealt with that, the psalmist is led to speak about the kindness of God. For God is saying, even to those who are in rebellion, here's the gospel, here's mercy. As we read in verse 10, for there that we have the beginnings of the gospel recommendations. Let's read it. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, come together with Christ, close up tight to him, and offer him a kiss of love, a kiss of repentance and humility, in order that we might serve the Lord and walk in his ways. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the ways when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We're coming to the final study, as I said, and we're going to look today at the closing sentence. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I want to emphasize to you, underline for you, how that in a few words God can say so much. God can say so much. Believe me, there is much in that final little sentence. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Here we have the simplicity of the invitation of the gospel. Nothing complicated about the gospel, you know. To men generally, the things of God are utterly complicated. Out there, were you to ask a question, a simple question, how do you get to heaven? There's not one in a million who could give you the right answer. Men are completely confused about these things. Because as I have said already in our study, man's blind. Blind to God. Blind to God's truth. He comes to the Bible, he reads a little bit of it, and he shakes his head. He says, I can't understand this. And that's because he's blind. Spiritually blind. Oh, his eyes are working all right. He can read the words all right. But he can't grasp what they mean. He can't grasp what they mean. Now, if I were to take up a book written in Chinese, I could see the characters on the page. My eyes would work. But I wouldn't have an idea, not a clue, what all the writing meant. Not a clue in the wide world. And I dare say that it would be the same with you if you took up a book in Chinese. Well, when man takes up the Bible, it's like that. He just doesn't understand what is written there. I'm thinking of an example of what it is I'm saying, given us in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Where there was a man of Ethiopia who was travelling. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. In verse 27 of chapter 8, there begins the story of the man of Ethiopia. And he's travelling home, having been up to Jerusalem to worship. So obviously he was a man who had an interest in religion. And it was a good interest in that he was interested in true religion. And as he's going home, he's reading the Old Testament. And he's reading the book of Isaiah, the chapter 53. But he doesn't understand it. And God caused Philip the evangelist to approach him. And as Philip came, he heard the man reading. He heard him reading. That means that the man was reading out loud to himself. Which is an indication that he was trying hard to grasp the meaning of the words. Any one of us when we come to a portion of a book that's not just clear to us, and we're finding it hard to grasp exactly what is being said, oftentimes we will read it out loud, carefully, so that we can take in as much as we are able what is being said. And that's what this man was doing. He was really making an effort to understand what Isaiah said. And Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I, except someone teach me?" That's how it is with man. And yet, there is nothing more simple than what is written in the Bible. It is complicated to man because man has a mind and a heart that doesn't run, as it were, along the lines of the Bible. What is in the Bible, man's heart doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to hear. Cruel people took Stephen, the first Christian martyr, out to kill him, simply for preaching the gospel. That's why they killed him. At the very end, he spoke to the Lord in prayer. He said, "Lord, forgive them." And it says they stopped their ears, put their hand over their ears. Didn't want to hear what he was saying. And what he was saying was the kindest of all things that a man could say to those who were engaged in killing him. He wasn't using bad language against them. He wasn't calling them evil names or even truthful names, as he could have used if he had said, "You're murderers." He wasn't using that sort of language at all. He was praying for them. And they stopped their ears that they might not hear what he said. And that's what man is like. He didn't want to hear what God says. What God says is, to use a big word, incomprehensible to man. He just can't take it in, can't understand it. And I want to stress today just how simple the gospel is. You have the gospel there in that last sentence. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Just the very first word, blessed, that means happy. In fact, it means more than happy. It means happinesses. In other words, there's a multiplicity, it's a large number of happinesses. So that when you put your trust in the Lord, there comes to you happinesses without number. Without number! The first believer into glory was Abel, way back in Genesis. Remember, he was killed by his brother? Well, he was the first believer that left this earth and went to that place of happiness and eternal peace. And that's, what, nearly 6,000 years ago, if it's not 6,000 years ago. And every day of those 6,000 years, I believe I can say, Abel has experienced a new happiness. A fresh happiness. If you were given a bag of sweeties and started eating them, oh, how nice the first one would be. Lovely. And the second one, and the third one. But maybe you got a little greedy and you went on eating until you were nearly at the last one in the bag, and by that time it didn't seem to be the same sweetness. That's how it is in this world. Happiness in this world doesn't last too long. As we say, it sours. Like milk, lovely and fresh and sweet to taste, but if it sits a little while, it gets sour and you couldn't drink it. And that's like happiness in this world. Man's happiness. But it's not so with God's happiness that comes to us through the gospel. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's just say a few things before we go any further. A few things more about the blessing of the gospel. You know, God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." But I would rather, God says, that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's Ezekiel chapter 33 and the verse 11. And that's God speaking to a people favored by him. And he clearly indicates he would much rather that they listen to what he had to say, repent of their sin, come to him for forgiveness, rather than die in their sins and go to hell. It is a truth that God has no pleasure in the death of wicked men. But sadly, it's the disposition of men to take no heed to God's word. Whereas the disposition, that is the way of the heart of God, is so different from the heart of man. The disposition of the heart of the Lord Jesus was clearly seen when he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and all that I have sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her feathers? That's what the Lord thought of the wicked people who were about to kill him. He would have gathered them to himself in tenderness and love that they might be saved. The gospel's all about God blessing men, and yet men have no time for the gospel. The blessings of the gospel, we are clearly told here, are simply and wonderfully obtained. Look at what it says. Blessed are all they that put their trust. That's how you obtain the blessings of heaven. You have but to trust. But to trust. In Psalm 57, in the verse 1, you read these words. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. That's how you obtain what it is God has prepared for you in his love and kindness. You just trust him. And in that Psalm 57, the verse 1, you have an explanation of what it is to trust in God. I mentioned how the Savior likened his love for his people, Israel, to that of a hen gathering her chicks. I know that the way things are today, there's not too many of us who'll ever see a hen. They don't run about the yards as once they did. They're all in big, big wooden huts, and we hardly ever see them. But when I was a boy, there wasn't a house around us but had hens. And they met you as soon as you opened the door and went out. There they were. And they talked to you. Well, at least I presume they were talking when they made their nice, kindly little noises. And, of course, where you had hens, you always had chicks. And at certain times in the year, you had a mother hen with her little flock. And there she would be leading them about, pecking around, and she would call them. If she came on a little patch of ground where there was good things to eat, she would peck and she'd make a certain call. And it was a distinctive call. Even I knew that she was calling them. I knew she was now speaking in a different fashion to what she normally would do. She's making calls that said, come over here, I found something nice to eat. And you would see all the wee chicks who maybe were wandering about all over the place, they would immediately run to where mother was pecking, that they might share in what it was she found. She had that call, but she had another call, because sometimes a hawk would come, and a hawk would kill a wee chick. It would swoop down, grab it, and away, and kill it, and eat it. And Mother Hen knew that, and Mother Hen would keep an eye upward, watching out for the likes of a hawk. And if she spotted one, then she spoke again. Again, even I could tell the difference in the tone and sounds that she was making. And immediately the little chicks, hearing her say these things, would rush over to her, and she would spread her wings, and they'd get in and under her, safe from the hawk. That's what the gospel is, boys and girls. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks? And that's what the psalmist here is saying in Psalm 57. He says, I trust thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Now you know what a refuge is. It's a place of safety, a hiding place. And when we get saved, that's what we do. We go to a safe place, a place under the wings of Christ. Under the wings of Christ. How simple the gospel is. How simple we are told we may obtain the blessings of God. You know, there are many who live their life and they go to church occasionally, and they expect that when they die, they'll go to heaven. And everybody around them expects when they die, they'll go to heaven. And when they do die, they all talk about the fact that, as they see it, that their friend has gone to heaven. And yet, never in their life was there ever any signs of trusting in Christ. And if we don't trust in Christ, we not get to heaven. Listen to what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, underline that, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if we want to please Christ, we believe him. We believe his word. And believing his word, we obey it, and we come, and we embrace him as our Savior. And if we don't do that, we haven't pleased him. And if we haven't pleased him, we're not going to go to heaven. We're not going to go to heaven. Heaven is filled only with those whose faith in Christ has pleased God. How wrong men are. They just don't understand what the gospel means. They just don't understand what the gospel means. Faith is that earnest, diligent seeking of the Lord in response to the gospel command. That's what faith is. We have a little chorus, I'm sure you sing it. Faith is but believing what God says he has done. And God says that he has provided salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And faith says, I believe that. I believe what God says. That's what faith is. Tell me, do you believe today? Are you trusting? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Ships carry a big anchor. I'm sure you know what an anchor is. And when they want to stop and secure themselves, they throw the anchor overboard. And down it plunges to the seabed. And there it takes a grip of a rock or of the seabed. And it holds the ship. And the ship won't move. The anchor is holding it. Faith is an anchor. When I trust in the Lord, I throw my anchor. And it catches in him, if I put it like that. And I'm anchored to Christ. I'm anchored to Christ. Do you trust him today? Look again. We've considered the word blessed. We've considered the word trust. Well, let's consider another word. It's a very small little word. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. All. Everybody who puts their faith in Christ will enjoy forever God's blessing. Isn't that marvelous? Sometimes we doubt that. Sometimes we're filled with fear and we're troubled. But it says, blessed are all. In the Bible, you find men and women of great faith. But you also find men and women of small faith. And they're struggling at times. And they're tempted by the devil to think that though they have reached out unto the Lord and have believed what he said, maybe they haven't really believed. Maybe they haven't believed enough. And all sorts of questions arise as the devil whispers in their ear, and they're filled with fear. But even they of little faith are still saved. They're still saved. There are no exceptions. Everyone who trusts Christ, who believes in Christ, is blessed. When you make Christ your refuge, you enter into his blessing. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So everyone who comes to him burdened and distressed and feeling a sense of their sins, they come in response to the invitation of the gospel. All of them are received and blessed of God. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000 men? There were also likely thousands of women and thousands of boys and girls as well. We're just told there were 5,000 men, but there might have been three times that number of people fed by the Lord. That's what I believe. Well, do you remember what it says about them? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 14, the verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. Now just you think of that. There were 5,000 men, and I say there likely were as many again, boys and girls and mothers and daughters. And all of them were filled. Not one of them said, I didn't get enough. Not one of them said, you know, I could take another piece of bread or another piece of fish. Not one of them. They were all filled. In fact, there was food left over. That's a marvelous thing. Well, now, listen. Here's the picture I want you to get. How were they filled? How were they filled? Well, I'll tell you. The waiters on that day was Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and the apostles. The Lord broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and they went out amongst the people. And everyone was filled who, when the plate was going past them, reached out and took what was offered. And I would say there was no restriction. There was a big fella, and he took 2 pieces of bread and 2 lumps of fish. And there was a wee one. 1 piece of bread did him and a little bit of fish. No matter what your need was, you could take your fill. And that's all you had to do. Reach out. Do you know how you get saved today? You just reach out. There's another little verse I want you to take heed to. And it's found in Matthew, also chapter 14. And there we read, and when the men of that place, this is verse 35, verse 36 of Matthew 14, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. There's another illustration. God is anxious for you to understand what it means to believe. Here is the Savior. People recognize he's there, know his healing power, and they gather all the sick that they know. And they say, Lord, is it all right if they touch the hem of your garment? And the Lord said, yes. And everyone that touched, just touched the hem of his garment, they were healed. So, there in that chapter, faith is illustrated for us. Reaching out and taking the food that was on offer. Reaching out and touching the hem of the Savior's garment. All that did that had their needs satisfied. I'm telling you today, you have but to reach out in faith and embrace the Savior. Believe his word and you're blessed. Not just now, instantly, but you're blessed for all eternity. Forever. The blessing of God will not fade, but it will last forever. It will last forever. Boys and girls, as we come to the end of the psalm, remember how it closes. Blessed are all they. It starts with all those that were in rebellion against God and the judgment that would fall on them. But it ends with all those that trust in God and the blessing that comes on them. Are you trusting in the Lord today? Is he your Savior? If he's not, reach out by faith today and say, Lord Jesus, I believe your word. I believe that if I come to you, you will not cast me out, but save me. And you will find that is exactly what he'll do. Let's bow in prayer. O God our Father, we thank thee for the sweetness and the simplicity of the gospel. Surely it is good news. I pray, Lord, that there might be a listening to the joyful sound of God's word today. Bless our school. Lord, we commit it to thee, and we pray you'll have mercy upon it. Every department, meet its every need. And all those we are thinking about, Lord, who need your touch today, friends that are sick, and the poor folk in Ukraine, God have mercy on them, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.